Good afternoon. I wanted to thank you guys for the privilege to prepare a portion from God's Word to speak on tonight. And if you have opened to the scripture reading in John 9, that is the background that Joe read for us, the background which will be for the subject of the Good Shepherd is the topic that I selected. And in that passage which Joe read for us, it was Jesus had healed the blind man, and then there's this dispute that arises between Jesus and the Pharisees. And with that, the blind man had said some very profound statements of faith in the verses which preceded. And from that is where you get this dispute. And if you gathered from what Jesus said and the Pharisees' response, you would get the impression that Jesus was constantly challenged and scrutinized by the religious elite of his day. And in the passage which you just read, Jesus fires back against them, saying that if they were more like the blind man, that then they would understand that Jesus is indeed the Christ, and as a result, they too could have the forgiveness of their sins. But instead, the Pharisees, as we see in so many occasions, have put up these spiritual blinders against Jesus. And they have, as if to say that they had exclusive rights to declare who is with sin and who is without sin. And this is an important lead into the lesson which follows, where Jesus describes himself as a shepherd. And this is one of seven I am statements, which you can find in the Gospel of John. And they're listed up here with a neat little graphic on each of them. This isn't my own graphic. I did borrow it. The one I'm focusing on this afternoon would be the I am the Good Shepherd portion. You may remember as well, there was a great lesson by Philip on the true vine. So this kind of, if it helps you gather any context around what we're talking about, that's one of these seven I am statements. So I am the Good Shepherd is what Jesus said in John chapter 10. In the passage which follows the scripture reading. The most effective way I have found in trying to research what is a shepherd, what does he do, what's the significance of this, is just look at what Jesus says. Because this is one of those instances where Jesus, he makes this profound statement and he goes on to explain so much of it in detail so that we can understand, which is great. So when Jesus said it, what is meant by the Good Shepherd, as we'll read in John 10 together, he contrasts it with several other roles that you find in this sheep analogy. You have thieves and robbers, you have strangers, you have the hired hand. And in contrast, the Good Shepherd ultimately is going to be the one who lays down his life for the sheep. I gave away the ending. But let's get into it. I think we'll find some rich applications here in John 10. So the background which we discussed is again with that blind man and Jesus' words when he says, "For judgment I came into this world so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." And then the Pharisees, "We are not blind too, are we?" And Jesus says back, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains." So what comes next? John 10, 1 through 6. John 10, 1 through 6. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers." Now the figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. No surprise. So in these first six verses, Jesus makes the point that the shepherd uses the door to enter the sheepfold. So a sheepfold, we don't really know, we don't deal with sheepfolds every day. It's basically just a pen for the sheep with this wall around it. And so this is something that the audience, they would have been familiar with. Living in an agrarian society, in this arid climate, sheep would have been a pretty good source of income because you have all this produce coming from them. You have the wool, the milk, and ultimately the meat that comes from the lamb. So these flocking, grazing animals were pretty low maintenance. They stick together. They don't require close supervision. They eat the grass. You know, it's not anything too special. So the sheep basically take care of themselves. The exception would be that of the case of predators. The most important part of the sheep business is in keeping the sheep safe from danger. So this is where the sheep business owner would employ a shepherd. The shepherd is the one who is welcome into the sheepfold. He has nothing to hide. His intention is clear. And in this extended analogy that Jesus uses, he is the shepherd, and the sheep are going to be his followers. So Jesus is the appointed watcher of the sheep. And in verse 2, when he says that he enters by the door, that is because he is on official business. And nobody else, and anybody else who comes in there would either be a thief and a robber or is a stranger. So in verse 3, he continues that thought, saying that the sheep hears voice, and that sound is familiar to the sheep. This makes a lot of sense, given the context. We started out by reading the account of Jesus asserting himself against the Pharisees, and when he said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but since you say we see, your sin remains." And with that statement, he illustrates an important point, that there is a specific kind of person, the kind of person that follows after Jesus, will accept Jesus when he hears. They have a heart that's been cultivated toward godliness, that they really are in need of a Savior. So if you do not have that kind of heart, then you need to step back and adjust your perspective. And that's what he was telling the Pharisees here. You need to be like one of these sheep that hears the shepherd's voice and follows. Does the shepherd know your name? In this same verse, in verse 3, Jesus says that he calls the sheep by name. This is really odd when you think about it, because when it comes to raising sheep, you're basically doing business with livestock. So you wouldn't typically go to the trouble to name each of these sheep individually, and yet Jesus, who is the good shepherd, does. So he has all these names for the sheep, and this illustrates the personal connection that Jesus makes with his followers. And he does not want a single one of them left behind or lost. And if one were lost, he would go out and find it. In verses 4 and 5 here, he draws a line in the sand, and he says, "When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus makes the point that if somebody tries to lead one of his followers astray, the true followers will not go that way, but instead, they will flee, and they'll go back to the shepherd. This explains the trust that we can have in Christ. The message that Christ promotes rings truer to us than any other that is out there, and it's a commitment that, though challenged, will not fail. The stranger that he describes here, might be specifically referring to the Pharisees, but it's also possible, especially thinking about it in our own application of this, you know, anything that claims to be righteous or good and has ulterior motives may fall into this category of stranger. Though some things may claim godliness, they must be tested against the one good shepherd, which is Jesus Christ. In verse 6, as we have read, the way Jesus explains himself with this parable, those listening did not understand. And should we be surprised? If he is preaching to an audience that consists of non-believers, then they would be among those in the dark. As Jesus has said in other accounts, "He who has ears, let him hear." Meaning to those who are truly listening, they will hear and they will follow. So let's look at the next section here in John 10, verses 7 through 10. And I said this was a sermon about the "I am the good shepherd" piece, but here's a bonus. You have the "I am the door" here as well. They're packaged together. Two for one deal. So Jesus said to them again in verse 7, John 10, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So we mentioned that Jesus' audience did not understand verses 1 through 5. So in this passage, Jesus puts it a little bit differently in saying that he is the door. And some translations will say, I am the gate. For the sheep to go through, and that they have to go through him to be saved. Though some have tried to trust in themselves or in someone else for their salvation, that simply won't work. And is that not true? I have seen some great people who've been great spiritual influencers in my life, and they have influenced me for the better. And yet, they are not my Savior. In this life, we have people who they're going to change. Sometimes they'll let us down. And Jesus Christ is our Savior forever, in contrast to that. So he is the door that grants salvation. It's not your spouse, it's not your dad or mom or your kids. If we put our trust in anyone but Christ, then we are building a questionable foundation, or in this case, we are trying to get into the sheepfold by some other door, which isn't Christ. Jesus is the door. So in verses 7 through 10, Jesus is making that point, and he is also continuing in this thought about the thieves and robbers still. These are people who try to enter the sheepfold for selfish reasons or to just cause damage. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. In contrast, Jesus has the good motive, and that is to provide for the sheep. Like we read in verse 10, where it says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Furthermore, he says, if you look back in verse 9, he said that they will go in and out and find pasture. There is safety in the sheepfold, and there is provision out in the pasture. Because Jesus is the door, he provides both of these things, safety and food. And as Christians, we have everything we need for life and godliness because we are on Jesus' side. And this may also remind us of another good shepherd passage in Psalm 23. You may call it the original shepherd passage by David. This idea of pasture and quiet waters restores my soul. In Psalm 23, verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. And then just as you read on down through there, it's one of the greatest psalms ever written, in my opinion. Just really evoking that thought of safety and provision and everything that we need for life and godliness can be found in God. And here Jesus is bringing that back around onto himself and calling himself the door and the shepherd as well. So in Jesus, we have our soul's needs. He guides us in good times and bad times, and he knows our needs if we would just come to him, come to God through him, because he is the door. And if you try to go through God, try to get to God through any other way, you're doing it wrong. So John 10, verse 11 through 15 is the next section. This is where we see that phrase, I am the good shepherd. So let's dig into that one. John 10, 11 through 15. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In verses 11 through 15, Jesus takes it to the next level. In it, he says he is the good shepherd. That is the kind of shepherd that you would want watching your sheep. The definitive shepherd, the good shepherd. And of the highest quality, good, right? So in verse 11, he lays down his life for the sheep. The job of shepherd would have been to protect the sheep against danger. And Jesus is the kind of shepherd that does it, and he does it to the utmost, even risking his own neck. And as we know, he claims here that he would do it, but then he turns around and he does it whenever he goes to the cross. You will not find a shepherd more fit for the job than the good shepherd. In verse 12, he contrasts this to the hired hand. A hired hand would just run away when danger comes. Jesus cares for the sheep just as the owner would, because they are his own. The best way that Jesus makes the point is perhaps in another passage, the parable of the lost sheep. Though 99 sheep remained, the shepherd goes after the one lost sheep, risking life and limb to find it and bring it home. So not only does he value the sheep collectively as being in the sheepfold, but he also values them individually. There's a lot we read in Scripture about Jesus achieving salvation for the church collectively, which he describes it as the bride of Christ. He describes it as his own body. But seldom do we see in Scripture such a profound declaration of his zeal for the individual as what we read in the lost sheep. I rejoice in knowing that the Savior is watching me individually and feel a great deal of responsibility to honor that. We are compelled by the provision and love of the Good Shepherd, Jesus, and we are compelled to live faithfully and give our best. Jesus is concerned about the sheep, each of them. Verse 14 and 15, Jesus makes the point that he links us to God. This is an idea that shines through in another section of John in chapter 17, where he talks about the unity piece of this. The point that Jesus is the mediator that brings us back to God, that in associating with Jesus, who is our mediator, we can be known by God himself. Verse 14 and 15, read again. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So he's making that connection again. There's a verse in here that comes next, John 10, verse 16, which I will read. It says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice. They will become one flock with one shepherd. This is an important point in the discussion on sheep and shepherd and Jesus being the good shepherd. What about those sheep who are not following Jesus yet? Those people can hear his voice too, and they will come. And when they hear the truth, they will receive it. Otherwise, they are not truly his sheep. So this is something we have to continually strive toward. I have a cross-reference here in 2 Timothy 2:19, which may be worth noting. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity, or depart from sin. So Jesus speaks the truth. He who has ears, let him hear. And there's probably more we could say on this specific verse, but I found it as maybe a topic for another sermon. But mind you, it's in here that there are people who are still seeking, and those seeking will find. John 10, 17 through 21 is the next section, which I titled The Zeal of the Shepherd. And let's read that together. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. What do you do with this statement? Jesus, sent by God, had a choice. And in verse 18 he says, I lay down my life on my own initiative. He could decide to lay down his life on behalf of his sheep, and the choice was his to make. When we read the account from the Garden of Gethsemane, he conceded in sweat, blood, and tears to his own Father that he struggled with the thought of going to the cross, because he knew about the pain, the abandonment that it involved, and yet he chose to do it anyways. Jesus did not have to go to the cross, but he did because he loves you. And what do you do with that statement? Would you follow Jesus and become one of his sheep, to become a baptized believer? So that was the section I had. the takeaway points are here, and we'll use this kind of as a summary, maybe as a call to action, who knows. Takeaway points. Do you have the attitude of the blind man? Do you have the attitude of the blind man? He experienced life-changing power in Jesus, and he believed it without a doubt. And as we sing the song Amazing Grace, we were blind without Jesus, and when he came into our lives, we saw the light and were changed forever as the blind man. So is that attitude in us? Jesus the shepherd, does Jesus know you by name? Do you follow after him, just as we've discussed? Jesus the shepherd, have you been led away by a stranger's voice? Are you listening to maybe some worldly power? Are you listening to yourself, your inner self, trying to make it without Christ? It's time to come back to him. He will take you in, and he will take you in with rejoicing, as we saw with the lost sheep. Furthermore, Jesus is the door. Are you trying different doors in your life and haven't tried Jesus yet? If you try it any other way, you're doing it wrong. If you think that you can be granted entrance into the kingdom without Jesus, then it's time to read this passage again and see that Jesus is the door. And then finally, Jesus cares for each soul individually, and he chose to put his life up. Or life down, sorry. He chose to put his own life down as an atonement for sin and for your sins. Would you follow after a shepherd who has that kind of zeal for his sheep? And would you follow after him? So if there's any way that we can help you, please come to the front as we stand and sing the song selected.